I just do it.
Don't you want it available?
Okay. Thank you, Susan. Thank you.
Okay. We're live in Kona, Hawaii.
Great. We were starting on which number?
65.
65 of which one was that? Weird World?
Weird World.
Number 65. Okay. On Angela. We are here. She is our.
Okay. All right.
Hey, everybody. Angela.
Who wants to read first?
Sorry, I would love to, but I'm a little...
I know you're busy.
I'm almost there.
Not quite. Okay, I'll start. So I'm fresh. Maybe I'll be able to read.
Yeah, right? We're going to tap you out if you get loose with the words.
Okay, number 65. On. Emergent Life 224. Actually, only a plenary world and universe composed
of... Wait.
Where are you?
65.
On Weird World?
Weird World.
117 up at the top.
117.
How did I do that?
I have no idea.
You skipped ahead.
The digital experience.
I don't know how to make that go back.
It's your old chronicle, so it's way, you're way, way, way up. It's page
here,
emergent,
one,
like
you read
117.
For a bit. You read for a bit, and I'll get.
It's page 117 if you look up in this corner.
Okay.
65. You believe what you believe, and will continue believing that because your sensing tells you that your beliefs are true. Besides, at one time or another, when you tested your beliefs and experiences, the result clearly showed that your beliefs and sensing were essentially correct. Hold it higher.
No, it's just, let me make sure this is in. Mm. There we go.
So, why should you disbelieve you? Wait a minute. So why should you disbelieve now, right? Of course, you tested accordingly to your beliefs, observed and experienced according to your beliefs, and evaluated and understood the results according to your beliefs, such that your actions and awarenesses are always biased to defend and justify and protect your existing beliefs. Everybody good with that one?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
66. Though this may also be hard to believe, languaging and technological advances have driven your original humanity out of yourself and understandings. What's original humanity?
The way we were before all technology started.
Before language.
You caught the typo in that first line?
I did.
The belief. I was thinking that maybe that was intentional.
No.
Where is the typo?
Belief is actually believe. Though this may also be hard to believe. Mm-hmm. So original humanity, I would say, almost before languaging.
Mm-hmm.
Before we started putting it into words to be able to communicate with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Language is a representation of.
As soon as you went to languaging, you went to cause and effect.
Mm-hmm. And substitution. Like the word is a substitution for
it. It absolutely is a substitution.
So, technological languaging and technological advances have driven your original humanity out of yourself and understandings, and out of your way of being and living. As a result, your body and life have paid a high price. The humanity we are speaking of is far greater and finer than peace, kindness, and mercy, and more involving than love and compassion, and far more enriching and empowering. Your true humanity is memory, and living by memory is true humanity. Are you willing to declare and live your true humanity again?
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah. How is living by memory true humanity?
How is what?
Living by memory is true humanity.
That means that you're out of languaging and you're out of all the cause and effect.
Okay.
Sixty-seven. What you sense is like the Gordian knot in the time of Alexander the Great. Therefore, if you want to be the ruler of yourself in life, you must follow Alexander's example and cut through the knot of distorted and false beliefs and information you are living and struggling with, and start over again. 68. Are you willing to change the basic structure of your languaged beliefs? Which means that doing so will change your beliefs in life and everything you have ever perceived, expressed, and felt.
So are you? You guys willing to do that?
Sure. Every second. Every second. Every moment.
But you have to constantly remind yourself, or we just fall back into it so easily because it's a patterned nature. Mm-hmm.
69. Are you willing to change every fundamental belief and way, and every belief and experience ever built upon those distorted fundamental beliefs? Are you beginning to understand the complexity of untangling this knot of false and distorted beliefs and information? Even with a lifetime of experience, you will not untangle this. You will only make matters more complex and confusing, which will surely entrap you deeper in false beliefs and concepts and hold you firmly. If you want matters of yourself and life to change, you will have to cut through this knot of distorted and false beliefs and begin again. Are you willing to take that step? Or will you hang on to your precious beliefs and sensing and continue yourself in life essentially as usual? Truly, this appears to be a monumentous task. So while you think about it, we will tell you of a whole new world view and life that awaits your decision. Of course, in this telling, we will use to describe this world view and not allow you to enter the self and world until much later. We will use to describe. I don't understand that. Do not listen or think with your old beliefs, opinions, and experiences. Just follow our descriptions. If you listen and think with your old beliefs and concepts, you will quickly entangle yourself in life as usual and stop listening. And in that, forsake the life and the self and life you truly desire.
I suspect you want, and that we will use words to describe.
We will have to, yeah. We're just going to have to.
Likely, but I don't know for sure.
There's got to be something there.
Yeah.
I would say it's probably words. Yeah. Or he could say, well, descriptive words.
Or just, he would say, we will describe this worldview. Because it's just follow our description.
It certainly needs to be referred back to the author.
Yes.
So I'm eager to see the descriptions here.
71. How do you think your beliefs and attitudes and view of life would change if instead of seeing yourself as existing in the universe, you were to know yourself as a condition of existence?
Well.
Condition indicates a thing on which other things depend. Interesting. Something without which something else cannot be. Are you willing to accept your role as a condition of life, such as ability and effort are conditions of success? Oh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She needs to mark her book. Mm-hmm. I need to mark my book.
That's what I need too.
You want to read the next one for us?
72. In much the same way, while your very existence and survival depends upon a benevolent universe, you frequently perceive your universe to be acting against you, or too complex to know, acting in some malevolent way. Or at best, you see the world around you as frequently unkind and unfriendly, which you must appease or placate. Is that placate?
That's placate.
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 Is it a spelling problem?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know the word.
P-L-A. P-L-A. Oh, yeah. C-A-T-E.
In this universe, you will want to continue living in and struggling again. Is this the universe?
Is this the universe, yes.
Is this the universe you want to continue in and struggling against? 73.
Continue in, living in.
Yeah, living in.
Yeah.
In our universe, we have a simple yet dynamic agreement with the world around us. To be as we are, to be as we are unto life, which constantly provides a real image of the self and life we are truly living. Do you have a similar agreement with your reality? If so, what is that agreement? If not, what agreement would you like to make with the world around you? Number 74. Are you living a real life? If so, how do you know? Is it as real as you truly desire? And would your real life serve you well forever and ever? Or are you merely marking time and entertaining yourself? And how would you know which is true? 75. Did you tap me? Is your universe working for you or against you? And how do you know any of these things? And if you get everything you seem to desire and seek, can you understand that desires reveal a lack? And getting what you desire maintains that lack and works against your best interests.
Yeah, I
asked you about
that.
This is so pervasive in our lives.
I know so many people would not understand or be willing to understand that. I mean, if you're getting what you want, if you're happy, you know, that's happy for the moment. But this is, makes a lot of sense. And it really reminds me to question myself when I'm feeling like, you know, it doesn't hurt to recheck and make sure what I'm doing.
Could you get my reader for me?
Yes.
Omega?
It's right sitting behind you on this little table.
Okay, we're on what? 76?
76.
Yes. Thank you, Lily.
Sure.
With this in mind...
With these things in mind?
With the... With these things in mind, what is more important to you? What you do or who you are? In your universe, since you believe that what you do is you and reveals you, you seek meaningful matters to achieve. can I stop there for a sec?
Absolutely.
What's the
wish you would, yep.
This one always, I get confused around this principle. Here, what you do seems to be connected to achievement. And how is this different than actioning? So what you do, seems to be linked here to achievement. And saying, I'll be happy when I reach this goal.
Yeah. The outcomes, consequences.
Outcomes and consequences.
That's right. I mean, I'm not, what exactly you're
okay, I was busy doing other things. So.
Yeah. So it sets, what is more important to you? What you do or who you are? And what you do seems to be connected to outcomes. In this context here, the doing seems to be related to outcomes. Because we
I agree.
Mm-hmm. And I don't want to confuse this with
what I do is me, you know.
That the
everything is me.
But after you've done a whole life of doings, which we've known lots of people who have done lots of doings, and they get to their life and they say, and what was all that for? All
and
that busyness, all that doing.
Yeah, they didn't.
But I never was me. And so that's the most important thing here is, in my opinion, who are you is the most important matter.
And just to use Roger as an example, the answer to the question, who are you, he would say, I figure out how the universe works and show that to others. And what he does to do that is secondary and doesn't fit into the do in this nature.
No, it doesn't.
Okay.
So to who you are is referring to an imprint?
I think it seems that's where I would take it. Anyway.
Yes, me too. Right when I hear you speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you start that one over and then read it again?
Okay. With these things in mind, what is more important to you? What you do or who you are? In your universe, since you believe that what you do is you and reveals you, you seek meaningful matters to achieve. So yourself and life will be meaningful. But when you look at all you have done and achieved in life, will you declare yourself to be meaningful? If the events and accomplishments in your life seem meaningful, does that mean that you or your life and your life are meaningful? Or that yourself and life have been meaningful as you desire? Isn't it possible that if you use your talents and abilities completely and accomplish everything you truly desire, you may still find yourself and life meaningless and unsatisfying? And in looking back later in life, isn't it likely to be too late at that point to change things? Maybe you need an agreement with the world around you to always reveal precisely who you are and the self and life you are living.
See, now when you've got a class and you're teaching this, you really need to stop at each one of these questions and really go over it and explore it. I mean, you could spend a whole number of hours just on this one number. There's so much that you could get out of this because so many people are so caught up in the doings.
Because they're emergent on a level, but they don't have anything to stand on that emergent. They just keep doing whatever, you know, but they never got the place to stand. So
most
they're just.
People are just busying themselves in life.
Yeah. Right.
That's true. If you're busy, I know
they think
some
that
people you know who did that. When they feel busy, suddenly they feel fulfilled.
Right.
Not getting anywhere else, but they feel like, now I'm doing something.
Right.
Yeah.
Because otherwise they feel so empty and so much of a void inside of them. Well, then I need to do something.
Yeah.
They feel guilty. You
know? Yeah, they
I'm
feel
not being productive.
In some ways, that's true. I should be doing something. Okay, well, if I'm doing something, then I'm okay, right? And that's not really what's going on here.
Almost always when I do past life readings, I ask the information coming in to take me to this person dying and what's going on for them at that time. And sometimes, but only sometimes, they describe or the images that come to me describe a person that said, well, that was a well-lived life. Most of the time, it's frightened and, gee, I didn't, and quite a bit of that kind of thing happens in the past life reading.
And that's the big, I should have done this, I should have done that. Mm-hmm. And what we're saying now is the time to stop yourself in life and say, what is it that I truly desire? Who am I really? And am I fooling myself and thinking that this thing is what I truly desire? Because if it doesn't mesh up with who they are, then I don't care.
I desire a fancy car
or a business or some other material thing that doesn't get them anywhere. Mm-hmm. And as Roger and I have both known many people that had lots of money and lots of things and were miserable and felt so lacking within themselves, but then they just did more to generate more.
To get the momentary relief from the anguish. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people feel that when you die, you're going to be unhappy regardless.
You're
going to be
unhappy regardless when you die. You look back, and you're never going to look back and go, oh, that was a great life.
Ah.
I think a lot of people
see,
feel
and
that
I'd,
so
love,
might as well have
I'd love
now.
To see that change.
Yeah.
I'd love to see that change where people get to their life and go, you know, that was freaking a good life.
Well, what's the current one, the joke, it's not really a joke, about when I get to the end of my life, I want to slide in, you know, into a home plate kind of thing going, wow, that was an awesome ride.
Yeah, yeehaw.
Yeah, yeehaw, yeah.
Okay.
Does anybody ever stop and think, if I were to die today, and I could say that right now, I've lived a great life up until now, and if I live more longer, I'll just even live a better life because I already can say that I've lived a great life. So far up to this point, I'm, you know, satisfied with, you know, how I've been.
To me, the secret, or if we want to call it a secret, is at every moment living only those things that you would want to memory or remember as something that was cool, that was great, that was wonderful. And so only live those things that you want a memory in that way.
Right now.
At every moment.
Mm-hmm. And some of that I find has to do with the attitude you take. You can just be standing in a place or sitting in a place. You don't have to get up and run out of the room or anything. You know, you can just decide who you are.
But that's why I'm saying at every moment.
And in doing that, I am creating my eternal self. After is an unfortunate word, but in that
simultaneously I am creating
the
an eternal image that I desire.
Yeah.
You need the emprise though.
Well, the emprise is important, but you've got to
if
you are memorying only those things that you would truly desire, then you're gonna be doing your emprise. Because what you're going to find are those things that you truly desire fit right in with your emprise.
Ah, that's
right.
Good.
Yeah. Right.
And then that's what we were talking about, another lifetime, you would recognize that.
That pattern, because you were living it every moment. Now, are any of us doing that yet?
No.
Yes. Yeah, so
but
can
we work towards that? Yes.
So would it be a heads up when you're standing there and you're getting really impatient and you're like, can't stand in this line any longer.
Or if
you're
bored.
You know what I mean? Like,
why are you in the line?
Well, if I'm like at the DMV.
Obviously, we just had a recent experience at the DMV.
No, but it's going to happen because we have to go there Friday. But
that was one time where I was standing there, and I remember this was like last year when I had to renew.
Go to Waimea to the DMV. No lines, no nothing.
No, they're fast and they don't give you hassles.
Huh? But anyway, the point is that feeling that should I just leave because I really don't want to stand here anymore, or could it be like, okay, Marilyn, think of something else, and don't think that you're like, what are you in a hurry about? Because I have a tendency to be in a hurry.
Yes, you do. But what I would say at that point is ask yourself, why are you impatient in this situation? What is going on here that I can't be just fine where I am and stand there and, as far as we use imagination, which is think about things that and take yourself places and do all sorts of things. And then you don't feel like I'm wasting time or anything else, and you're okay with where you are.
I'd even take that further when you say, why am I impatient in this situation? It's not, I don't think you mean, why am I impatient in this situation? Stop doing that. It's,
no,
really, truly, why am I and what's going on with me?
What is truly going on in my life?
What am I expressing right now? Yeah, like I think I should, my time is better spent with my kids. In what way do I do that in the rest of my life? My time is better spent doing something else other than what I'm doing right now.
Yeah, I could be at the beach.
Yeah.
I could be something that's standing
other than where you're at. She's worrying about her appointment coming up already.
I'm going really early.
But the question always is how is that a pattern that I do
exactly.
in my life, right?
Yeah.
I'm never where I'm at. I'm always worrying about what I could be doing.
So my question is, if you're wondering about, if you're thinking you should be somewhere else, and you get there, would you feel any different?
Yeah.
Because, are you going to be just as discontent?
And that's what she's saying. Yeah. What you'll find is it's in every little aspect of your life, everywhere you go. You're still going, well, I should be doing something else.
Or
I could be more productive.
Yeah.
That changes that moment in the lineup from being a struggle to a really fruitful experience.
But you can process this all in here. Like, have it take place outside your body.
Or start a conversation with somebody that is really meaningful.
Yeah, who knows who's going to be standing in the line next to you.
That's true.
That's a space-time continuum, kind of like what Deepak Chopra talks about when I was traveling, I was on a plane, and it took 14 hours to get from Indonesia to Hawaii. I met some people, and we talked, and we for a whole conversation about our trip, and all of a sudden we were back in Hawaii,
Right.
And you didn't even know how long you were waiting to be so impatient to sit in a plane when all of a sudden you have this conversation and time goes by. It's time has nothing to do with anything.
Time is relative, and that's what we've talked about. It's up to you how fast time goes.
I think it's one of the things that I found that's important for me anyway is that when I find myself in that kind of situation, instead of simply recognizing it and seeing what it means to the rest of my life, I can do that, but that's just a momentary thing. I'm not going to spend the next hour in the line thinking about that.
Mm-hmm.
So I change my subject. I change the subject in my mind. I switch to another item of what I will do. And I think it's the changing the channel, so to speak, helps break up the habit of, geez, I'm impatient. And then I'm quite social, and I start looking around the line. And that's an interesting looking person. I wonder if they want to talk. And end up experiencing what you described. Time disappears. I'm engaged with this person, and it's kind of cool.
Right.
Okay, we're doing number 77. Are you willing to always be yourself? If so, how will you know that self you are living? And if you believe that what you do and experience is the self you are, you will be sadly disappointed. What you do or possess is your cause and effect world, while who you are in our universe is who you remember yourself to be. Therefore, the question arises, would you rather be who you are and experience, and who you are and experience, and the memories of experience, or as memory,
Actually, you are who you remember yourself to be at every moment, and your actions and experiences, in fact, are in fact non-issues.
Wow. Is there a typo?
Yeah, there is.
What?
Would you rather be who you are? I imagine it is, and your experiences, and the memories of experience, or as memory.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
And?
Yeah, it seems to be.
Memories, experience.
And those experiences. There's missing a word.
Oh, those.
And the memories of experience.
So your actions and experiences are in fact non-issues. I can see, I understand about experiences, but your actions are non-issues?
Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
Andrew, why don't you explain it to her since you seem to be so fast on that?
Well, my thought was when I read it was when you're living who you truly desire, your eternal self, what you do, doesn't matter. Everything you do will be an expression of your eternal self.
Okay.
That was my thought, but I haven't read the whole thing through.
I agree.
And so this is where I don't bring up stuff that we've read before, which is like, are proud of your actions.
Well, proud of your actions is a different context from this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I think it's important to keep in mind here that the in terms of actions here.
What you would find is if you're living this way, sorry, Patrick, if you're living this way, you're proud of everything.
Yeah, that's it.
And the six that you pick out might be highlights rather than
But it would be certainly an expression of everything else in your life. Mm-hmm. Whereas sitting there trying to pick out six things for some people is just like, I don't even know six things that I'm proud of. Mm-hmm. And we've heard that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't have six things that I'm proud of in my life.
So we're looking at our actions from a different direction. We're almost looking at this as a...
We're actually living our actions instead of just doing our actions.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They are us instead of our just getting around that this is what I do.
Mm-hmm. Is it at least in part, Misty, that my actions, if my actions are to achieve benefit in your eyes, then that's I'm really fully into I want to feel good.
Then you're also in a way into what we just discussed earlier of lack.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because you're trying to fill something in your life by you acknowledging that what I'm doing is wonderful or great or whatever else.
So if it's simply something I do as I live as I truly desire, it doesn't matter. Those actions are of no
account. Roger has said all along, it doesn't really matter what you do. It really doesn't matter.
But if actions begin to matter, you know you're in the to-do.
And I thought that an experience is compounded through with actions. It's an action after an action, and then it might be an experience somewhere. Do you understand what I...
Not totally.
No.
I'm kind of working on it.
Let's say 10 actions create an experience.
Okay.
Yeah. That's when those 10 actions are as you truly desire and you want to memory them, you memory the experience. You collect somehow actions to an experience. Yeah.
Without bumping our head.
Yes.
And the beginning of this passage is, are you willing to always be yourself? And the last sentence is, and your actions and experiences are non-issues. So I'm taking their non-issues in terms of
as you live
yourself.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
If you're not living yourself, actions are everything that you're about.
Issues.
Doings are everything that you're about.
Mm-hmm. And so the when we use the six actions you're proud of, we're doing in hindsight to see what we were living. Was it ourselves?
Absolutely.
Okay. Can I take a shower with a bird in there?
Be careful.
Probably not.
Getcha. All right. It's pretty protective of this.
Okay.
Space.
Keep reading and it's
so I don't remember meeting you guys.
I'm Marilyn.
Marilyn. What's your last name?
Geronimus.
Geronimus?
Yes.
With a G?
J.
With a J.
Mm-hmm.
Were you in the Waimea group?
No, I was in Roger's class 20 years ago.
Oh,
okay. I think I remember you, but
yeah.
I can't place it.
With a lot of the, like, Connie was there. And
are you the Marilyn we were just talking about a little while ago?
I don't know. She's one of the founding members, though, of this foundation
we
lived off of.
What Mentioned. Are you saying that I can be proud of?
I'm just trying to remember. And with and Lillian.
Mm-hmm.
Lillian.
And Lily's been there, too.
He's Patrick and Karen.
So we all were in gatherings up till about 2003,
yeah.
4,
mm-hmm.
5.
I got on and off with their workshops in the last 20 years.
I was in the Dream. The first
the
class
dream
I went
class
to was
Forever
the Dream
Living.
Interpretation.
Was it here in Kona?
Yeah,
Kona?
With Roger.
Oh, really? Oh, wow.
Okay. And
Connie and Constance.
Yeah, Connie came later, what she did the Wisdom of the Body.
Well, Connie came up from the...
Because I introduced Dennis, her husband, to her, to come over here. And that was
the whole group that came here.
So we might have met 100 years ago. Probably,
yeah. I don't think I came to the very first one, but I think Pat did.
It was the very first dream.
Could be in that one, too.
Yeah.
I asked her if she'd be here. Okay, move on. Number 78.
Whoa! Number 78, move on.
While you will not agree with this now, a self and life built upon accomplishments, experiences, and memories is not worth living, and certainly not worth repeating. While a life built on memory is unforgettable. Besides, life of experiences and memories are very temporary and
very
limited,
temporary.
Mm-hmm. But as memory, life is expansive and eternal. Number 79. Well, now you have a little more of
now
a...
Now you know.
Karen's going to take that.
Number
I keep on putting
79.
Get that guy out of there.
Well, now watch me mess up. Now you know a little more about memory. What will you do now? Actually, what will you do now is not the question. The question is, who will you be now?
And that really is the question. Are you going to continue just being your loner body and do whatever it is that... as we say, chickens do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just a saying that we have, you know, you live a life, you make more chickens, and then you die.
Just do your natural DNA stuff.
Just do your natural stuff, or are you going to be more than that?
Yeah. 80. If you grew up and mature as a loner being in a cause and effect world, you will only mature in languaging and remembering, and repeat your memories. Are you willing to grow up in memory?
Kind of like cool. I just thought I'd change my cord when I'm stuck in someone. Do I want to put that in my memory? Yes or no?
Stuck in what?
When I'm stuck in a problem I create.
I'm stuck in a problem.
Yeah.
Okay. 81. In your universe, as guidance, you have been instructed to be loving and compassionate, and do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And you have been guided to do only that which you would be willing to do forever, and have done unto you forever, all of which can properly guide you through a cause and effect world. So is he contrasting those two? In your universe, you've been instructed to be loving and compassionate and do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
And you have been guided to only do that which you would be willing to do forever. Which sounds to me...
It is.
Contrasting.
He's using his own words.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep on reading. Yeah.
Okay.
Because he set that up for when you're living in a cause and effect world.
That's exactly what I was thinking. So we're a step past initial cause and effect for everything.
So drawing us to our teachings.
He's trying to take you out of kindergarten and put you in at least first grade.
Okay. And you have been guided to only do that which you would be willing to do forever and have done unto you forever. All of which can properly guide you through a cause and effect world.
Yeah.
However,
in our universe, it is vital to always be unto yourself and clearly express as you memory yourself being. Are you willing to be as you memory yourself being and live as you memory? Or will you continue struggling to discover and do the right thing?
It's a very important passage.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, what I like about, we talk about regenerating your life, your body, your life, living as an internal being when you're just in a cause and effect, mode, like at work or somewhere reactive. Yeah, use that. Am I willing to do this for? Just make the choice. Am I willing to do this forever? I've done it for me forever and ever. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, live as your eternal being. Be Anno. Be Eurus. Be living. That's the way I was looking at it. That's maybe a little more, when you're not in practice with that,
right?
The first is an easy way to default into being as you are eternally.
Right.
Would be into eternity. But the other one is more consciously involved in how you want to live eternally, I think.
I agree. Yeah. Okay. Getting you back on your horse.
And you guys... Second don't just be nice and greedy. Y'all can come at me.
No, I think you're right. The first, would you be willing to do forever? Get you back on the horse. And then.
It's a good tool to have in the box.
However, in our universe, it is vital to always be unto yourself and clearly express as you memory yourself being. That's the finer details of riding a horse.
And I find, I'd like to compare notes with you guys before we leave. I'm finding two very different mindsets when I do that. Mm-hmm. One is like, I make the choice and I'm thinking that's very cause and effect. It's just, I'm just following the process.
Yeah.
But I'm still probably living as Andrew Lohner, being just getting through my day. And that's not a bad way to go, actually. It's just that when I'm living in two minds, or I've got, Anno going present, conceiving of myself with that long past, that's a different mindset. I'm acting and I feel different when I'm doing that. Now, whether that's the way, people do it or not, I don't know. That's what I've put together.
Well, I'd like to share that in detail with you as well, but I'd like some help parsing this. And I think very deliberately, on the one that says, are you willing to be as you memory yourself being? That deliberately violates the structure of language. And it violates time. Well, are you always willing to be as you memory yourself to be? That memory in this context needs to be, it's this instant. It's not memoried from the past.
It is definitely in this instant.
In this instant,
not in the past.
And that's memory. Being aware of that in this I am memorying myself as I exist, instant to instant.
In every moment, we can say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so what we're doing is taking the old question that we used to ask ourselves, and now moving on to the new question, which unless you've studied this stuff to a large extent, would not make any sense to you, about memorying.
Yeah, and this is it. I think this is such a beautiful representation of using words in a sentence that violates the rules of language.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, he's not too interested in going by other people's rules of language.
Yeah, but he could never get the concept across by saying
because he feels that language is so destructive to us.
Mm-hmm. Ready to go back out, Michelle?
Ready to roll?
Yep.
Yep. 82. In your world, setting right goals and fulfilling them is appropriate. While in our world, you can set goals and be them by realizing that's who you are in memory. Are you willing to be and live that abundantly?
Big boys.
Big boys. Outside boys. An abundant self and life does not mean prosperous well-being, physical comfort, and realization of your dreams, relief from fears and doubt. Life of meaning and purpose without discontent, serious problems, means abundant memory. Abundant. 83. Contrary to common belief, life is intended to be easy. And through memory, life is easy and abundant, and all about you. Are you willing to live a life that is all about you?
I have one question there. Intended?
Hmm? Life is intended?
What's question
mark? Who intended
it? We did.
So wouldn't we all intend differently?
Do you think that somebody intended life to be hard?
Sometimes I think so.
I think that if you really scratched through it, you'd get down to the point where they really didn't, but they thought it should be.
Yeah.
I think
they may have adopted that philosophy.
Well,
for some benefit, they think
sufferers, the people that are, you know, suffering the religious whatever ideals.
Then they still feel like they're paying their dues for something. They still feel like it's to their advantage.
Yes, oh, for sure, but I would say that they didn't intend for their life to be easy. They're intending for their life to be difficult, so they earn more.
They're trying to get to a life of easy, though.
Yeah.
And so they really do believe that life should be easy, but maybe I have to pay all these dues in order for life to be easy.
In the afterlife. So life in the afterlife.
Will be easy, because I've done all this suffering and everything else, and now life will be easy.
Right.
But ultimately, what they truly intended is for life to be easy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. 84. Before you answer, realize that, in fact, your life today in your universe is all about you. But such a life is judged to be wrong and selfish. Yet, no matter what you do, you can only act relative to yourself. So your life is already all and only about you. Are you willing to let memory transform you through a complete change of mind and perception? Are you willing to memory yourself anew at any moment as you desire? And be that and live that? 85. As you continue in life, even as a pathway of memory, you will have problems, pains, and illnesses, disappointment, and sadness, for no one is immune from these aspects of life. And every time you resolve one difficulty, another one will arise. However, living memory makes all such events non-issues, for these matters will not impede you, distract you, or limit you as memory. Are you willing to be a living memory? You are but a memory.
Thank you, big boys.
Big boys.
Roger mentioned this notion of being memory a couple of weeks ago on calls, either our call or this Monday call, I can't remember. And I've been rumbling around in my mind ever since. And in fact, there doesn't seem to be anything else that can be.
That's all we are, and the longer we live, all we do is have more memory.
Yeah.
But anybody, it's just, if you live 15 years or you live 100 years, it's a complete lifetime and a memory.
And the choice point Roger's putting to us here now, we can live in memories,
where everybody lives for the most part, yeah.
And that's the choice point he's putting to us here.
Yes.
You can have it all.
Yeah, but do you want it all? Do you want to live in memories, or do you want to live memory?
Oh, we're moving on to journey.
So is that last chapter called memory? It was
weird world.
Oh, we're in a new territory here.
So now that we have those understandings, now we're going on a journey. Okay.
Great.
Let's take home.
Yippee. Love traveling.
Going on a journey. One. People reading this presentation and those who come to the Emergent Life Center are divided between those who realize their part in creating and maintaining the problems and illnesses and those who expect quick, painless procedures to relieve them of unpleasant or dangerous symptoms so they can return as quickly as possible to old beliefs and lifestyles from which the pains, problems, and afflictions arose. Ones that obviously are not desirable for them or not leading to a healthy, rewarding, and happy self in life. Which type of person are you? Two, people who are willing to face and understand their part in the development of their pains, problems, and afflictions know that all medical procedures and interventions only provide symptom-relieving actions, so they may use their divine mind and greater understandings, their immune system, their impassioned purpose and role in the universe, and their abiding awareness to begin the all-necessary work of healing their living and expressing through problems and illnesses by freeing their wondrously emergent self and life to create a finer abiding self and life.
Those who realize their part in creating and maintaining their problems and illnesses.
And we've all known such people.
No, that's the good one.
No, these are the ones here in this one that says that they
realize that what we're doing.
And they say that the interventions, medical procedures and interventions just kind of clears the deck to enable them to address the real issues.
Absolutely, I agree.
We know our part in what we did to create and maintain our problems.
Or we help those that haven't figured that out if they're willing to look. Three, relief of your physical symptoms is important, not as a cure of the illness, but to relieve your mind, to allow your beliefs through attitudes, emotions, imagined behaviors, outpicture and live the eternal abiding self and life you truly desire. Something is in there.
And? Did I mistake again?
Just add and in front of imaged.
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 To allow your beliefs through attitudes, emotions, and imaged behaviors.
Comma.
Outpicture and live the eternal abiding self and life you truly desire.
Four. At the Emergent Life Center, we will take you on a wondrous imagination journey, a journey stretching from the outer reaches of inner space to the inner reaches of outer space. Mm-hmm. And in the side it says, imagination journey, direct perception of your eternal abiding self and life.
This will be a voyage of infinite unknown.
Mm-hmm. She's just reading the
I hadn't got there yet.
Oh,
the
side. Okay.
Yeah, I was wondering.
Imagination journey. Okay, sorry.
This will be a voyage into the unknown. We will travel back in time and forward into the future without ever leaving today. As wayfarers, we will explore a complex network of interconnect and interrelated pulsating self and life. Your true abiding self and life, and will even hitch a ride on an imagination vehicle that moves throughout this inner galaxy of heavenly bodies that is you.
What is all this talking about?
what we're going to do at the emergency center.
Sharon's consulting
Sharon,
patient.
No.
I said, what is all this talking about? What is this what vehicle? Does, what is this journey? What I mean, I haven't gotten that far in the book yet. So is it
this
coming?
Is about the Emergent Life Center and yeah. what it will do.
I didn't know if there was a particular activity it was talking about or something.
A particular one yet? No.
Okay. All right.
Everything
just,
we do here at the Emergent Life Center. Everything that is done, all the different aspects, all the different ways will do these things.
5. We will see sights rarely seen, probe emotions infrequently touched, explore attitudes seldom known, and maybe have to endure convictions and memory images hardly ever seen or realized. And in all of our wanderings, we won't travel any farther than from the crown of your head to the understandings of your feet, or across the galaxy that is you from fingertip to fingertip.
Very nice picture.
6. We expect you to be surprised at the sights, and we hope you will be happy and thankful for this imagination journey. At times we will just ramble about. At other times we will carefully search and scrutinize your inner universe and your outer world in creation and development. We will show you many wondrously beautiful sights, and maybe some that may be a little disturbing and discontenting. But you will always be securely protected on this journey. Oh, our travels will surely take us on seldom traveled roads and along busy and complicated thoroughfares. Some streets will be well lit, while others will be filled with dark shadows and vague figures.
You prepare well.
7. Pack your bags.
Bring your bags with you because we're going to burn it.
With your most precious possessions, and be prepared to travel the tempest of inner storms and through a rain of tears. Our journey may lead us into the heat of anger, through the cold of denial, or along a dry desert of stubbornness and resignation. We may experience the loneliness of renunciation or the crowded conditions of excessive desire and self-indulgence. We will climb to the heights of awe and revelation and may descend into the valley of anxiety and depression. Oh, you'll be excited one moment and anxious the next. Hardly wait.
We have all the attributes of a good movie here.
Yeah.
And we got music. You should ought to put the music to it, too.
All right.
You know?
We will be evaluated and judged along the way, supported and tenderly carried when necessary. We will frequently be alone, but never abandoned or forsaken. Our environment may seem unsociable, even hostile, but we will not have to struggle, defend ourselves, or conflict with others.
It would make a nice reading book, you know, like if you guys read it and had the music and theatrics in there.
Make a movie. All these things can come later.
Yeah.
We still got all this to do.
I know, but that would be fabulous.
9.
You did it like once.
We have done. I have done some things. Yeah.
Our journey will be fascinating and enriching if we are willing to see the beauty and magnificence in the body self world of our own creation. Our travels will enrichen our life and provide an elegance and fineness never realized before, and a strength and courage seldom known. We will visit the temple of blessings and drink deeply from the cup of our own emotions. We will reunite with wonderfully loyal friends, discover compatriots, meet new helpers and co-workers, and become intimately involved again with mates and lovers. And on the side where it says our travels will enrichen our life and provide an elegance. Enrichen, same as enrich, to make yourself and life fuller, richer, more desirable, and satisfying. 10. This journey will take us into your body self and into your life in consciousness to reveal exactly how you created yourself and the world you face every minute. We will look at how you give birth to a whole new body self and world around you every day. We will act as your tour guide, companion, and research assistant in explaining your inner sights and sounds and the extraordinary thoughts of yourself and life. We hope to lead you to undiscovered abiding realms, for it says on your ticket to life that you may travel anywhere and live whatever you truly want and are willing to act upon.
I like that.
11.
The ticket to life.
Many years ago, we took an elderly man on the same tour because for many lifetimes, he's been angry one moment and calm the next, excited and yet frequently disappointed and anguished. On his journey, he discovered that he had been living two different abiding lives simultaneously, that of a fierce individual named Arif and an extraordinary man named Rashid.
Rashid.
Following is a story of that abiding life in which his eternal self and life was seeking to discover if the spirit of a man could actually be altered and reformed in life, or whether the spirit is fixed completely and unchangeable. 12.
So, question here. When you leave two abiding selves at the same time, would that out picture in medical language as living as schizophrenia?
No.
No?
No.
Or could it?
It could, yeah, but it doesn't have to.
To prepare you for understanding the places we will visit, we are offering you a beginning understanding of the language of your physical body self to take with you. This descriptionary follows.
Where's the story of Rashid and Ari?
It'll be coming up.
All right, I want the story.
What are we looking at next?
Huh? Well, we're going to read the first page of the descriptionary, and the rest of it we're going to skip over.
Skip, yeah.
Just go get the rest of those papers.
Oh,
and
stuck.
She's stuck. Now we'll see if we can get...
Keeping me on my toes, getting out of there.
You want to read, Susan?
Sure.
You want to read that descriptionary one?
Yeah, Susan.
Emergent Life, page 126. The heading is Your Personal Body Self. The descriptionary. Your personal guidebook to understanding the language of your loner body self. Number one, without exception, all external devices, techniques, and medications must be seen as symptom relieving and not as preventing, curing, or healing any pain, hurt, disorders, or problems, or any pains, illnesses, afflictions, or diseases, which are more correctly called discomforts. For it is from these discomforting effects that individuals seek relief, and which they use to judge the cure. When their discomforts are resolved or lessened, and removed from conscious disturbances, or concern the cure, is considered satisfactory, and they consider themselves survivors. But actually, all they have survived are the treatments, while the original beliefs, images, and behaviors remain essentially as before. Yet they consider the cure, or healing, to be complete and successful. This is only a first step toward complete and lasting well-being and a new abiding self in life. Your original pains and illnesses, even if relieved, frequently conceal even greater underlying problems and afflictions. Are you ready to face your beliefs, images, situations, and relationships, and your attitudes and behaviors, so you can live and thrive as an awareful, abiding being? Or are you one who is satisfied with temporary relief?
So then you just have the different, like this one is the body self, and it tells you what some simple things mean, you know.
The basic.
The basics. description. Yeah, the basic descriptionary stuff. And then the internal organs. And so on and so forth, all the way through.
That's a good quick reference. Mm-hmm.
So, we move right on through this. And we move
to page 136.
Yep, to imagination.
And this is an introduction to imagination. Self-realization through the deepest insight of real perception, perfection of self, and a reverence for all nature. And that's a quote from, I can't even read it.
Hofer. Who was Roger?
Imagination, this is the overture. Number three, where's one and two?
Back in the earlier parts of the book.
Okay.
Remember I described that the overtures were all going to be taken out and put into a separate pamphlet.
Okay.
Just to give a taste of each one of these.
Okay. Oh, yeah, yeah, good. Number three of the overture. The role of physicians, healers, and other medical practitioners is moving away from being primarily responsible for restoring a level of health and fitness after your mental and physical abuse, accidental hurts, creating dysfunctions, bodily defects, catching colds, carelessness, and overindulgence. Falling prey to sickness and disease or developing familial,
that means family inherited genetic
illnesses. Physicians and other healthcare professionals, while relieving symptoms, must also become complete life care teachers, advisors, and other specialists who show you to the self and life you are creating and struggling with, who guide you to rediscover and enliven your eternal abiding self and life, and show you how to create the emergent well-being you truly desire by living a new, more appropriate, abiding self and life. You must learn to examine, understand, and live your abiding self and life, your emergent eternal self and life. Number one of imagination.
Not imagination.
Imagine, it was just a space. Imagination. The Emergent Life Center asks you to reconsider the loner body self and life you are living and struggling with today, and reach through imagination to the underlying truth and essence of yourself as an abiding being, and live that abiding self and life. Number two. The Emergent Life Center will show you through imagination exactly how to experience your eternal, abiding self and life, and take you on this journey, as we have done with many others before. But first, a little explanation of imagination. Number three, many ancient and current teachings speak endlessly of spiritual realms you can access through prayer and meditation. Don't you believe it? Your life is certainly an endless journey, not a short path to death and annihilation or to resurrection to a spiritual self and life. But how many people today do you suppose are consciously aware of their being eternal? They're wannabes.
They're claimed to be.
Number four, you are not a spiritual being. You are an eternal abiding being, which is the one we just have to drill it into over and over.
Oh, I can hear you.
Just say that over and over. Say this 100 times. You are not a spiritual being. You are an eternal abiding being. You are not a spiritual being. You are an eternal abiding being, which is one who endures without lessening. And your true awareness in life is through direct perception, minding, not through reasoning, arranging, inferring, and concluding, which is thinking. Before the creation of language, all knowing of life and your emergent self and universe was through direct perception minding. It's time to reawaken direct perception mining again and quiet your reliance on thinking and reasoning. Number 6. While meditation today is focused on quieting your mind and letting thoughts arise, imagination is about quieting thoughts and letting direct perception arise. Therefore, in discussing imagination, we will frequently contrast that with meditation, which in the beginning was only taught to the sick and dying as preparation for death. Imagination is preparation for the deepest insight and experience of life, should you choose to live yourself and life in this way.
I have a question.
Okay. Yeah.
Andrew may be able to answer. Meditation thing, I understand the traditional meditation, quieting the mind and all that, but there's a lot of guided meditation now. And would it not be, I'm suspecting that it wouldn't even come under the heading of meditation to have a guided meditation that was around, like you said, remembering that I'm an internal abiding being, developing an image of my eternal abiding beingness, having a guided meditation that would reinforce that and remind me and break the habit of being a spiritual being. So if I was to go do what would be commonly called a meditation, but it's a guided meditation that is around that stuff, the eternal abiding beingness.
It would have to be emergent every time. Some kind of way, because everything has to be
emergent.
Can't be pre-canned.
You want to hang on to meditation somehow?
No, I think she's asking. She wants to drill it into the body. Guided meditation function? What we call a guided meditation, does that functionally different from a imagination where you guide yourself? So my question would be, what did you guys do in the Sabha massage or Javala yoga? When you were, didn't you have people input their image? Didn't you guide them to certain images that they would be inputting into their body and life? Then I think it's the same. I think traditional meditation, he means sitting there obliterating your mind, which he's been opposed to at almost places throughout this book.
But when he described being in hospital and visualizing, his kidneys
that's
and
active,
stuff.
Man.
To me,
that's
active. Like,
he wasn't
active.
Trying to get out of his mind.
Yeah.
That's active minding.
Yeah, active
whatever
minding.
Whatever those guys were, wherever
that's
he
very
was
much
at.
What imagination is.
So I'm talking about what I call guided meditation, but active minding maybe is even a better way. But a not a meditation where you blank out your mind.
Like a mantra, say over and over again.
It's meditating, perhaps with a recording, but on the aspects of living as an eternal abiding being.
There's a focus. Imagination is always a focus. You're not just letting your mind run wild.
So for Roger in hospital, it was a focus on, what was it, his kidneys?
His kidneys, yeah.
Yeah, so that's imagination.
Yes.
So there's awesome.
There are probably tons of ways to do it.
Oh, I'm sure there are. And we haven't even begun to scratch the surface on it. Yes.
And so imagination working on the stiff neck or whatever. Totally
going in, you know, like if you had a stiff neck imagination, there's a couple of ways you can go. Exploring what is it that is going on that you're resisting or having trouble in the movement or
difficulty choosing
or
thoughts and
imagination of adding, like I'm taking a grease gun and I'm putting it onto my bones and now things are starting to move more easily and
so that's a valid imagination procedure.
Sure, Pat did one with his foot.
Yeah.
Angela's asking, isn't the trip through the tunnel of direct perception like a guided visualization?
Well, it's a visualization, yes. Is it imagination?
Oh, imagination happens beyond that.
Yeah, you've got to get out of the tunnel and into it. But guided visualization is not what we're really talking about as imagination. Imagination is basically something you do on your own.
That's
thing.
A great point. So then that would be the difference, Karen. If, that's a great point. That if someone's guiding you all the way through, they're all in your way.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking about things like making your own recording or going through your own visualization.
Specifically for you.
Yeah.
Well, unless they do stuff like you do in the regression, which is ask you and you respond with
sure.
what comes to
yeah.
mind. You're not, if they say, look here and imagine a tabletop full of black, stuff, black computer, whatever.
Yeah, but if
not.
They say visualize your abiding eternal abiding self, whatever that is for you, then that would be valid imagination.
Right. Because they are doing the imagination. This is their
yeah.
thoughts.
What you described before is what I call a body journey.
Body journey.
A what journey?
A body journey. When you have a pain somewhere, you can visualize yourself going to that place.
Body.
And work with that place.
Yeah, well, you can name it things,
yeah.
but it's still imagination.
It is, yeah, it is a form of imagination, yes.
But yeah, if they go there, they might come out with a real reason themselves, because they have
yeah.
answers,
Yeah, of course they do.
Yeah,
self-describe,
so.
Self, yeah.
Self-directly.
Get into that
yeah.
pain.
Get into that pain.
Well, if I like that one.
yeah. Well, but it still could be directed by Andrew, directing me to visualize my issue. What does it look like for you? Then it's directed by him, but it's prescribed by me.
Right.
Yeah.
And that issue will not be, well, that issue will be your effort to what? The discontent between your being the personal self and the abiding self that you desire.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, we're on number 7. Years ago, a friend dying of cancer said to her husband, as her final words, "We just can't talk about
it.
You can't just talk about these things. You have to live them." That's in bold letters around this book quite a bit. Imagination will guide you to being and living as the eternal being you truly are, and will reawaken your consciousness to the realization of your true nature as an enlivened eternal being, not a spiritual being. It is your privilege to live awarefully as an immortal being through direct perception, which is minding, or forsake yourself again to mortality and language thinking. Which will you choose?
Read the definition.
Definition of immortal.
Oh, immortal is having the appearance of mortal, but since you will recur again and again, you are essentially immortal. Number 8. What you perceive as space in the universe, previously known as the ether, is actually memory of the universe, which records and stores everything that occurs in the universe. This memory is the knowledge and wisdom of the universe, available by direct perception only, not by reasoning, processing, or concluding. Actually, language thinking only distorts this knowledge, and everything you know or believe about meditation conceals this wisdom from you. While imagination is your key to direct perception of this knowledge and wisdom, are you interested in learning more about imagination and expressing your abiding self?
Yes. Please tell me more.
Oh, let's go on to number 9. Living by imagination and direct perception is not a secret or mystery or special process reserved for very few. It is available to everyone as the natural way of life and knowing. Imagination and direct perception has remained a secret for so long simply because it is so simple, such that language and false gods take the guidance of life away from direct perception as it was practiced for many centuries. But all is not lost, for imagination can return direct perception of this knowledge and wisdom of the universe to you, should you choose to have that available to you. And you can guide and assist others in these ways. Number 10. Are you willing to mine the knowledge and wisdom of the universe in your life today? Imagining takes no more than 15 minutes a day until direct perception becomes a way of life to replace reasoning, processing, and conclusioning. In fact, at first, direct perception will seem to be made up of fantasy. But direct perception of the knowledge and wisdom of the universe is real. Neither science nor religion can clearly reveal the mystery of life and the universe to you simply because you are a big part of the mystery itself. Let's go back here a little bit. Okay, direct perception is the knowledge and wisdom of the universe. So, but we create the universe. We don't create it. We mind it. We make it grow.
Trying to figure here.
Oh, that we're just accessing our own information. We store it up in there. Mm-hmm.
That's what I think. I don't think there's wisdom of the universe writ somewhere, right. Rule 1, 2, or 3. I think it is as you direct perception, whatever yours is, that's what it is. What do you think, Misty?
I think mm-hmm. you got that.
She shook her head, ding-a-ling, that's a yes.
We have our own savings account.
Is it possible, though, that each one of us is lodging memory data?
We have our own universe.
Yeah, but each of us is, there's mind that is the universe. And we're all...
Can we access others is what you're asking?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. So
other
it's not
what?
Just
other
my,
information other than our own.
Not the stuff I lodged in memory, but everybody else.
No, we have come, we bumped up against each other. Okay, what did we go through with spooky theory and all that?
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're talking about.
I think I've often thought, like, remember that Monday night discussion that just blew me away where Roger was saying there's no such thing as free will in the universe. You live free will into the universe. So I've taken that to be there's no wisdom, there's no anything. We're living this stuff into the universe. You're writing the wisdom of the universe.
Can you slow down a little?
That's some wisdom of the universe right there, yes.
Thank you.
So, yes, we are all creating memory, data, yeah. information, so on and so forth. Can we access all of the stuff that somebody else has? Yes. The likelihood that we're going to access stuff that is more of like kind,
yeah.
relative to people that we know, and so on, that's more readily available to us because that is, as I put it, I don't know if Roger does, it kind of vibrates on a certain
yeah.
wavelength. And that's the one that you're going to tune into, because this is kind of...
It's like your access key, right?
Right.
Thing
this
about
is
your
kind of like,
key.
This is familiar. This is the stuff that I am, too. This is the stuff I'm interested in. I'm not interested in that other thing over there. So I am drawn to that data and information.
But it's generic wisdom at that point. It's not somebody else's specific wisdom.
It's not memories. It's memory.
It's yes. Yeah, it's,
memory is that data information.
And that's
not
accessible
conclusions
for everybody
about data and information.
There's no judgments or anything else. It's just data and information.
Yeah. See, now I kind of start to understand this thing about what I think I understand this thing about the access key. I mean, if somebody just wants answers to everyday problems, I'm sure they can access that stuff. But if
maybe.
You want something.
Maybe.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, if you get something, I guess. But anyway, if you
something,
want.
Yeah.
If you want information about, you know, the eternal or anything, you got to be living that. And then that's what you access.
And that's what I'm saying. That becomes your vibrational rate, which hooks into that same vibrational rate in everything that is dark matter memory to all of it.
And Andrew, when you do past life readings, as I do, that when we get ourselves in that mode, we don't go just anywhere.
It's very directed. It's very
and
structured.
That's, but that person we're with, has given us a bit of a coding key of what they're looking for.
Sure.
And out of the billions and billions of memory data information we could access, we follow the code key that they gave us.
Right. And I mean, for me, it's like it's usually within the first seconds. It's like this one little play on pattern, and then by like an hour later, if they ask a question, that's the same pattern that comes out. It's just really interesting.
Yeah.
This is why I think it's important to realize imagination is different than imagination. You just make up any shit you want. There's actually some real consistency when you're plugged into imagination. And I don't think it's hard. That's the thing. It's not hard. It's just recognizing that. And you're welcome to add to or take away. That's my experience or guess.
Well, is it a creative process? Imagination is to take data and information and reassemble it in a new and different way for me today. It's data information that Andrew put in there. I access it, and I got it. Oh, I got an idea how to use this a different way.
Yeah.
And in a past life reading, I think you should have a focus. You should have a focus.
Yes. Yes.
Otherwise, you don't know what you.
Yeah, it's just,
what you're gonna access to.
It's huge amount out there.
Yeah.
But like, let's say you're working with someone. And everything is memory out there. Their memory, your memory, and blah, blah. Can you know them? I mean, can you invade their memory? Because it's out there, it's accessible.
They won't know that it's remembered.
No, it's not invading.
See, that's what I said. It's generic. It's like
it's data
memory out
there.
Huh?
It's data information.
I think two things, though. I think if you do that, like when they're not without permission or something,
right?
What you get would be different than if they say, yeah, I'd like to talk to you in that way.
Yeah.
Like in a reading, it's different information.
Yeah. If I'm just accessing memory, it's data and information, and I will coalesce whatever I'm interested in. If I'm working with another, doing a past life reading, that I think for me to access anything other than they asked me for would be an intrusion and manipulative.
Yes.
Them telling you.
Yeah.
That's the difference. You just get out of the way.
And I think that
so what if they do that?
Makes a difference.
Huh?
Yeah. I think their intent makes a difference.
Yes.
What is accessible to them?
Yeah.
Actually,
they'll get what they want, actually. Whatever they want.
Actually, in a past life reading, they speak to you, so they access and you speak what they access. You never can invade.
No,
no, you never can.
It's a type of communication.
If you don't give permission to me that I can access this information, I don't. In the context of.
That's curious. I'm gonna work through that.
Yeah.
So would you say it is impossible to invade somebody's
mind?
I think that a living individual would be impossible to truly invade.
To go in without their permission.
Right. Because they're going to have their cherubims and carabins,
you know,
at the flaming swords to protect.
Yeah.
That's really interesting you mentioned that, Misty. About 2 years ago, December 2013, Yuko had some friends over, so there was these two girls who spoke only Japanese, and I couldn't speak a word of English, so she had to interpret for me, but we were doing readings, and one of them, the first, it came up like there was a wall. That was the first image I got, and she was just looking over the wall, and it stayed that way for several minutes until I asked, are you sure you want to do this? And Yuko interpreted it, and then she laughed, and she realized, she said she was kind of holding, she was resisting, or she was really worried. And then as soon as we got through that, it went down and everything started. So yeah, I think that's really interesting that, they can do that.
I think that in one in which they are no longer in body, I don't think that you really know whose data and information you are accessing.
That's interesting.
Because it's no longer tied to a physical being.
That's interesting.
But if a person comes to me uninvited and said, you are obviously struggling with X, and I haven't invited them, and I'm not.
They're just making assumptions.
They're projecting their own stuff.
Yeah.
And if somebody comes up to you and says, I'm going to invade you and I'm going to get all the information about you and all that kind of stuff,
I can laugh and walk away.
Laugh and walk away.
Had experience with that lately, Karen?
Okay, we got that. Alright, number 8. What you perceive as space in the universe, previously known as the ether, is actually memory of the universe, which records and stores everything that occurs in the universe. This memory is the knowledge and wisdom of the universe, available by direct perception only, not by reasoning, processing, or concluding. Actually, language thinking only distorts this knowledge, and everything you know or believe about meditation conceals this wisdom from you. While imaginationing is your key to direct perception of this knowledge and wisdom, are you interested in learning more about imagination and expressing your abiding self? Number 9, living by imagination.
I think we did that already.
Yeah, thank you.
She didn't finish it, so.
What are we?
This one. Please read.
Okay, number 9.
We are on number 12.
No.
Or 11.
No, no.
Number 9, right?
Yeah, I think so. They just kind of sound the same. Living by imagination and direct perception is not a secret or mystery or special process reserved for very few. It is available to everyone as the natural way of life and knowing. Imagination and direct perception has remained a secret for so long simply because it is so simple, such that language and false gods take the guidance of life away from direct perception as it was practiced for many centuries. Yeah, it also does sound familiar.
But it is anyway.
I know. But all is not lost, for imagination can return direct perception of this knowledge and wisdom of the universe to you, should you choose to have that available to you. And you can guide and assist others in these ways. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Number
10. Are you willing to mine the knowledge and wisdom of the universe in your life? Oh, yeah, we did. We know this.
Okay, just
imagining takes no more than 15 minutes a day until direct perception becomes a way of life to replace reasoning, processing, and conclusioning. In fact, at first, direct perception will seem to be made up of fantasy. But direct perception of the knowledge and wisdom of the universe is real. Neither science nor religion can clearly reveal the mystery of life and the universe to you simply because you are a big part of the mystery itself.
Scott, can you pop the...
Stop the tape? I don't know what you can't tell which one to push. Can you stop the tape, Pat?
Can we get settled? Thank you.
Yo, reading. Morning. What are you reading?
We're imagination.
We're reading this book that some fella wrote.
There's an awful lot of laughing going on out here.
Well, we're having fun with it.
Dare we?
You don't believe a word this is saying.
So, Rob, your word for the day?
What?
Word for the day?
Word for the day. Too much laughter.
You couldn't be getting it. You're enjoying it.
You have a little smile on your face there.
This was supposed to be serious.
I think he's serious.
He's serious.
Look at his face and go serious.
What?
We just had stand-up comedy for a while.
All right. Wipe the smiles off your face.
Yeah, right. Fun and games are
come
over.
Come on, gathering faces. Let's go.
All right, number 11. Direct perception is your pathway of self-realization. And even if you are shown the way to the knowledge and wisdom of the universe, to imagination, you cannot arrive at that realization without walking the path of direct perception. Number 12. For your first foray into imagination in search of direct perception, forget everything you've ever heard about sitting in meditation with your back straight, hands resting lightly and relaxed in your lap, eyes closed, or focus on a point about 5 or 6 feet in front of you, and concentrate on your breath while calming your mind and letting thoughts come and go. The purpose of imagination is to bring direct perception into your life 24/7. Therefore, this is not a sitting exercise. Imagination is to be a conscious part of everything you do.
Somebody get that for me.
Yeah, I got it.
Imagination what?
I got it.
For imagination, everything you do. Okay.
Not merely in a seated position, and certainly not as a meditative state. Imagination is not a separate activity. But do not focus on imagination while driving or operating machinery or hand tools until you know how imagination directly affects you. Number 13. Imagination requires a focus and a query. A focus would be an emprise, declaration.
Question.
Yes.
Declaration.
A declaration, a question. For direct perception to respond to you, and for you to understand the response, a fine beginning focus is to create an image of yourself and life as an internal being. As an eternal physical being, not as a spiritual being that is vague and unknown and unknowable. The image I created of myself as an eternal physical being is as a teacher and advisor in the Parthenon in Athens. I chose an image from this time period to give my eternal self a path that has always been with me, so I can feel and understand how my life today has developed along the lines of this eternal self, and as an incipit for every aspect of my self and life, such that, relative to that eternal self, I know my life today and for the future, to come alive for you. Your eternal self needs a desirable past, so you can give your eternal self and you a future that follows. Mm-hmm. Do we all have our pasts here? Do we all have pasts? You guys have lots of pasts.
I have more pasts than anybody.
Yeah.
Susan, have you been around on Mondays? Those Mondays in the last couple months we talked about giving yourself a pass?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Okay.
That's been, you know, write your stories from day one. Okay, let's see. Number 14. What image do you have of your eternal self? Are you living that image in your life today? Take a few moments and create that image. Don't wait. And don't let thinking or reasoning talk you out of doing this. What is your eternal name? What are you doing? Are you willing to create every detail of your eternal self? If so, every time you enter imagination, add more and more details to your eternal self and life. If you find it difficult to create the image, consider following this process. In your daily life, before you act or speak, choose what you will do or say. Then ask yourself, would I as an eternal being be willing to do or say this eternally and have others do or say this eternally to me? If your answer is yes, then do or say as you have chosen. If the answer is no, I wouldn't do this or say this eternally or want others to do or say this to me eternally, then make another choice of actions or words. This may seem overly complicated, but consider that in living as an eternal being, you would always be doing and saying only what you would be willing to express and have expressed to you eternally. After a while, as your choices of doing or saying, or as you are willing to act and speak eternally, You can stop questioning and confidently live your choices as eternal being choices. Good and evil or right and wrong judgments are not necessary in an eternal life, nor should they even be considered. For all such judgments are languishing, not direct perception. Making this choice is direct perception, and acting upon that choice makes it real in your body and life, and in the world around you. And in that, you offer a judgment-free space to communion with you and form an awareness of yourself as an eternal abiding being and experience yourself in that way. Practical exercise. Number 15. Newton's third law of motion states that for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction, or other action. This means the universe only reacts, and even reacts to its own reactions, which has led to the mistaken belief that the universe is conscious and acts intentionally. Actually, the universe only reacts and is reacting to you all the time. The universe lives your life moment by moment right along with you, and stores that memory in matter and in space for you to continue living or struggle against. In matter number 16. In fact, every aspect of yourself and life is a memory in the universe for you to continue or forsake.
What are you reading?
Number 16, page 141, top of the page. Number 16.
Oh, mine says in fact.
In fact.
I didn't hear you say that.
Oh, yes. In fact, every aspect of yourself and life is a memory in the universe for you to continue or forsake. As such, you are abiding and can endure without lessening through direct perception, which is minding, or forsaking your eternal self to language thinking. The universe will accommodate either choice equally so. So choose carefully and wisely as you truly desire. 17. Now. Assuming you have created an image of yourself as an eternal abiding being and realize that image, it probably feels as though you just imagined or made up that image, doesn't it? And that's quite all right, because as you begin to live and realize that image as an eternal self, the universe reacts and lives that self as well, such that what was all made up in one moment is direct perception of the universe the next moment. And is this your and is as you truly are in the universe. And you have direct perception of the knowledge and wisdom of the universe as your guide in life. Whatever you imagine can be true in the universe. Isn't that grand? Number 18. Since the beginning, all of your beliefs, thoughts, emotions, attitudes, words, and actions, though they seem real enough, have actually been all made up. And the self you've been living was all made up as well. It unfolded from the world of your emergent imagination. Now we are asking you to unfold yourself directly through imagination, directly, as you truly desire being eternal. Does that seem like asking too much? After all, if you believe in God and miracles and everlasting life, you just made that up. So why not make up things as you desire them to be? Einstein suggested that you believe either nothing is a miracle or everything is a miracle. In either case, both God miracles and all similar beliefs are all made up. And if you have experiences seemingly based on these made-up beliefs, your experiences are all made up as well. For nothing proves either the beliefs or the experiences. Cruise. Soon. Let's see. Sickness and well-being are all made up, as are right and wrong. So are disabilities. But you don't believe any of this, do you? Because all of these things seem so real in your body and life. And that is all made up as well. Question. So we're making up our illnesses. So we're actually being emergent on our illnesses because we make them up, right? So then... Yeah, it's all made up anyway, so make up what you want. God, the cake smells so good.
Yeah, good. now we can ask what can Roger get, what we cannot. We said yesterday.
Life is difficult at times, but pain and suffering is optional. They are all made up, along with joy and happiness. Old age is all made up. Number 19, if you feel unworthy or don't believe in yourself, or if you find yourself wise and articulate, you made that up. And if you love someone or don't trust someone, you made that up as well. And, this is so true. After all, if love or trust one... If love or trust are issues, you don't have that love or trust. And what you made up as love or trust will decompose and fade away, such that you will have to make them up again. Believe it or not, everything in your life is all made up. So why not make up what you truly desire eternally and make that real for you and for the universe to be that for you? Number 21. If you believe this is all too intellectual and you are not this creative or don't have these creative abilities, then reconsider the things you have made up in your life. Maybe there are other more promising things in your imagination or bag of tricks for imagination to awaken and bring forth. Number 22. If you are ill or disabled, you made that up. And then believing the truth of what you made up, you set about making your illness or disability real. Probably just to prove you were right and didn't make it up. Is that any way to use your imagination on? Is that any way to use your imaginate on? Is emergent creativity. Imagination on. 22.
On, or is it emergent creativity?
Is that any way to use your
imagination?
Imagination on. Is emergent creativity?
Or is it emergent creativity?
Is that any way to use your imagination on?
Or imagination, or that, let's get
away. Or emergent.
Or
emergent
creativity.
Is that any way to use your imagination, or is emergent creativity,
or your emergent?
Or emergent creativity.
Because it's
kind of same thing. Emergent creativity is imagination, right?
Yeah.
Or emergent creativity.
Yeah, because it's talking about a way of. Functioning that really isn't that desirable.
Is that any way to use your imagination or emergent creativity? For it seems you would rather prove and suffer your rightness than ever live eternally as you truly desire. Or is it possible you actually desire your illness or disability?
Oh, I've known people like that.
What?
I've known people like that.
To like their illness?
Because they like the attention, they like being taken care of, they like not having to work or do or
I'm at one too.
Yeah, it's just conscious. Like that, I had these pills from this company again because this lady had asthma type symptoms, and so she didn't have to work out in the yard. Her husband did that, so the pills cured all that. But then her husband wanted to go out and work in the yard again, so she got her asthma back, so she didn't have to go out and work in the yard. It's like 20. Let's see. For it seems you would rather prove and suffer your rightness than live eternally as you truly desire. Or is it possible you actually desire your illness or disability? Number 23. Most people have a great intolerance for those who make things up, as though this is dishonest rather than creative. Yet it seems that everything of value and importance is all made up. Number 24. What distinguishes creative people from those who are not so creative is not that creative people have deeper or wiser or more expansive insights and images, but creative people make their dreams and images real. They realize them. Have you ever thought about looking at your problems and illnesses to see how creative you are and consider why you are using your creative abilities in these ways? Number 26. Whatever you do, don't be fooled or misled by the word diagnosis. For physicians put symptoms together to make up a diagnosis, and then they make up a treatment. And many healers make up everything and anything to fix you or readjust you. Holistic treatments like mind, body, oneness are all made up. Number 27, scientists make up matters to expand made up knowledge. As Einstein declared, science is only a refinement of ordinary thinking, which is all made up, and then replicated, which is a scientific word meaning proved. But is such proof real, or is it all made up? After all, everything you see or feel or experience is all made up. So how is proof any different? Number 28. If you deny any of what we've said, then you don't want the privilege to make up and have what you truly desire. And life that from all of this, do you see that you have made up everything you are today and must make up everything in your body and life? Or would you rather forsake your imaginative mind and direct perception to be victimized and controlled by everything around you? Number 29. Are you living the self and life you truly desire as you would choose to be and live eternally? Or are you living your life in matters as they are languished to be real and practical and right? Number 30. The creativity of imagination is not special or unusual. Number 31. Certainly, you are beginning to realize that you are an episode in eternity, carried in memory and kept alive in memory for all eternity, to be accessed and enlivened again and again through direct perception. These profound awarenesses and realizations and understandings are not deep within you. In fact, they are not within you at all. So do not bother looking within yourself or to some profound depth or insight or care or source of yourself. Look all around you and reach out and expand to yourself and expand your awareness and realization to that self and even beyond. For in direct perception through imagination, there are no restrictions or limitations in your eternal illuminated world, only promise, the promise of you as you desire being and living eternally. Number 32. To realize the promise of your vast eternal self, you only need to stop where you are. And stop living as you have come to believe and the come to believe, and stop living as you have come to believe you and the universe are, which is not what you want to believe and live anyway. And the best way to accomplish this is through direct perception, imagination. For direct perception, minding enlivens your true self as an abiding being and your life as an abiding being. Number 33. If you take your mind out of the meaningless language concepts of oneness, infinite, spiritual, the superlatives, mortal and immortal and everlasting, and into recurring, you observe eternal all around you. And what you see is imagination. And that is direct illuminated awareness and realization, or direct perception. Number 34. While many teachers claim they have discovered a longing in people for a sense of oneness, we see a longing for a genuine realization and experience of eternal life and personal identity. It seems these self-proclaimed teachers do not realize that most people already sense they are far more expansive and creative and enduring than their short life languages leave them experiencing and believing. And this is certainly true. Most of what is normally taught to be the truth of life is all made up. Good for them. They had a good imagination, huh?
There are some things that are truths that really are truths.
Yeah, they have, like the...
Like what?
Religious stuff, you know, there's some truths in there, but they just didn't know.
Like what? Well, we're teaching you stuff.
Is that true?
Well, or you if you get into, we're sharing stuff, you're learning from it.
Or is that taking true? It on. Or am I accessing data and information?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's still a rumor until you make it true, though. All right.
Why don't we stop for a second?
Mm-hmm. Break. Get some more.
Yep. We're so hungry. God knows it's hours since I've eaten anything.
Yeah, at least 45 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah.